Hello. Hello, Agnes?
Yes.
Hello, this is Mary.
Hi. Hold on, Mary.
Okay.
Welcome to Pets Tell the Truth. This program is dedicated to understanding our animal companions on a deeper level. I'm Dr. Agnes Thomas, psychologist and animal telepathic communicator. I'll be your host as we listen to what our animal friends are saying and as we appreciate the way they view the world, their missions, and their spiritual insights. Today's show is brought to you by Garnett Publishing in Cleveland, Ohio. Garnett is calling for finished manuscripts, so if you have a manuscript that you would like to share and see in print, contact them at www.garnettpublishing.com. That's Garnett with two T's. Or you can phone them directly at 216-458-6100. They are the publisher of my book, Pets Tell the Truth, A Mystical Journey into the Animal Mind, which is available everywhere. I would like to announce the publication of my new inspiration cards called Animals Tell the Truth, Wisdom Cards. The deck is of 52 cards, and they contain actual conversations that I've had with each wild or domestic animal shown. The animals are wise beings, and the reader is supposed to ask the question, "What can you teach me today?" And then pick two cards, one for morning and one for evening, and I'll give you some examples. My morning card today was about giving back, and it's a photo of a raccoon, a beautiful, beautiful raccoon. I love raccoons. And it says, "We love to bounce around the forest and then go scavenging for food. We travel in groups, and one member of the group is left as a lookout for dangers. When we find food, we always take the first food back to the lookout as gratitude for his protection. Then we take the rest of the food back to our nest and share it with others. Take care of those who look out for you." That is very good advice. And my evening card today was about love. It's a picture of a beautiful white dove. Animals know only unconditional love. When you love an animal and it loves you back, it is really the experience of the Creator's love for its creations. Bask in it. There is nothing like it. Rejoice and be grateful for it. The Creator will give you more tomorrow. This is a listener call-in program, and the worldwide toll-free number is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. We're looking tonight for persons who would like to share their experiences with animals that survived or were lost in Hurricane Katrina. Please wait till the half hour to phone in. Tonight we'll be discussing the rescue of animals from Hurricane Katrina. Our guest is Mary Reed. Mary is just one story of how much a single individual with a heart can help animals in a very big way. Mary single-handedly arranged for a caravan of helpers, food, and resources from California. She left a trail all the way to Houston to help animals after Katrina. Welcome to the show, Mary.
Hello. Hi.
It's really wonderful to have you here. I was so touched by your story. I'd like to really share it with the audience. Tell us a little bit about your background, Mary.
Well, thank you. Actually, I have six children, and they're all adults now, and I love animals. My husband and I have four cats, and we always do everything we can to help animals. And I'm a doula by practice. That is a delivery, labor and delivery for human babies, and I also love baby animals.
Wait, what did you say you were? I never heard that before.
A doula. D-O-U-L-A. It uh-huh. is a Greek word, and it's what we do when we're helping women in labor and when they deliver babies. We kind of specialize in that art, It's a Greek word, and I believe that it is something like a slave to women. Although we don't consider ourselves slaves, we do help women. We help women have their babies.
It sounds like you're an angel to women.
I try to be. Having six children of my own, I know exactly what that's like, and I've tried to be at the birth of my grandchildren also, and some of them I was able to do that with. And it takes a lot of dedication, and I have that, and I intend to help women. And I, at the time that Katrina struck, my husband and I were planning on taking a vacation. We have an RV, and so we were all ready to go on this vacation. We live in California, and we were going to head north. And when Katrina struck, we diverted our plans and thought maybe we could help the animals that had been displaced or had no homes or anything. A friend of mine had called and asked if I could help a woman in Louisiana who had a cat sanctuary, and she had 27 cats, and she was in Louisiana, and the hurricane blew her sanctuary away.
Oh, my.
And this woman was living under the roof of her house with those 27 cats and dogs that had come into the neighborhood after everybody had evacuated. And I said I would help. And very quickly, because of that, my life changed. I said I would help this woman whose name was Jan and her cats and the dogs that she was helping. And from that moment on, I began making phone calls and asking people that could help me to help me. I live in California, and so it was way out of any danger zones. And we started by helping this woman by the name of Jan and sending her water and food and food for the dogs and cats and water bowls and carriers and collars and leashes. And from that, it just blew into being able to help hundreds of animals. I made a call. I was just kind of doing this out of nowhere, calling people that I thought knew about animals. One of the calls I made was to Petco, and I left a message, probably a real strange message for Paul Jolly, and I said I just want to be able to help the animals and the people that love them.
Uh-huh.
And I think that I know how to do that, but I'm not sure where to begin. And Paul Jolly, who is the founder of Petco, called me back, and he said, well, what you're doing is wonderful, and we will help you in any way that we can. And so we started just thinking of everything possible that people could use for their animals and for themselves, and sending it down there. And although Petco had already been in the district and doing everything that they know how, they still offered to help me by sending whatever it was I needed to specific addresses that I was now coming in contact with. And I tell you, Agnes, that was really a miracle. That
yes,
was just,
it's awesome. When you told me this, at the time when Katrina was going on, you were just going to take your van, which you call Safari Cat, right?
Yes, yes.
And fill it with food yourself and drive all the way there. And then other people jumped on the bandwagon, and you got people with trucks and everything else that were willing to participate to bring supplies there. That's quite a drive.
Yeah.
And I was just amazed at the amount of people that volunteered their services. I was at a Petco opening this last weekend. They opened a new store in Medina, Ohio, and they asked me to come and, do pet communication and also sell some of my books and so on. These people were so gracious, I can't tell you. And when I talked to, there's a fellow there by the name of Mike McFarland, who's actually a distant relative of spanking McFarland. And he looks quite a bit like him, actually. This man was so gracious, I just didn't even know how to act. They were so lovely to me, and they were so much into the animals. And when I asked him what kind of a company Petco was, he said it's all about the animals. And
yes.
What he told me was that during the hurricane, many of the employees of Petco actually left their jobs to go down themselves as volunteers to help. And he said that Petco was very much all about animals. And they have their own foundation, which Mr. Jolly is the CEO.
Yes.
I didn't realize that they have, you know, they have Petco, the store, the corporate, but they also have a Petco foundation where money is given to rescue efforts and all kinds of other charitable things regarding animals.
Yes.
Who offered you the most amount of help on this, and what were your observations? What were some of the other people doing and helping? You had firsthand information to everything.
Well, that was only because I was prepared to go on a trip, and when I dropped that and said, well, I'll do everything I can do to help, I was on the phone and able to communicate with people in outside of the hurricane zone, and that just got me much quicker into some of the areas. You realize, of course, that after the hurricane, they didn't have communication. Many people that had cell phones had no way of recharging the batteries, so people needed help and couldn't even ask for it because there was no way to do that. Well, outside of the hurricane zone, I, of course, could use the phone, I could use the TV, I could use my computer, and so I was just a few steps ahead of some people because of that. And our small community, I live in California and we live in the Central Valley, and people started bringing food to my house for us to send down there. And they started bringing money and collars and leashes and carriers and toys, and they just handed them to me and said, here, since you're helping, here's this collar from a precious family dog that might have died. Or the children would go to the store and buy a little bit of food with their allowance and give it to me to send down there. The outpouring of love was just tremendous, just absolutely tremendous. We had a homeopathic company, King Corporation, that King Bio in North Carolina, they offered to send down 10 cases of Rescue Remedy. And, of course, if you have animals and you know
what
of homeopathic products, Rescue Remedy is big. Well, we knew the people needed the Rescue Remedy as well as the animals, so they agreed, and all they wanted from me was addresses, and they sent it down. And they didn't ask for any type of advertising or anything. They just knew there was a need, and I happened to have the phone skills and the computer skills to get those things to where they were needed most.
For the listeners that don't understand what Rescue Remedy is, Rescue Remedy is a homeopathic medicine that is made from by Bach. It's made actually from chrysanthemums. And it gives you more psychic ability to deal with stress. It's made for humans, but all the animal trainers and everybody that has an animal knows about Rescue Remedy. It's to deal with stress, and it helps you to contain yourself so you can think.
Yes, and there was a lot of need for that by the animals that had been displaced and the people that were caring for those animals. So King Bio sent 10 cases of Rescue Remedy and divided them up into some of the different camps that were down there for the animals and for the people. And we sent water, of course, and shampoo and sunscreen, little things that we might take it for granted that we have when we have our homes, but when people are living out of boxes or worse yet, nothing, we just sat here and was able to think of some of the things that would be necessary. And several companies sent shampoo in our name and hair conditioner and combs and toothpaste, little things like that.
This is for humans as well? Mary?
Yes.
They sent supplies for humans as well?
Yes, yes. And,
oh, my goodness. And, so this expanded everywhere, didn't it?
It did. Once the word was out that we were helping, then we had so much coming in, and I was able to divert phone calls, and people had supplies for the humans. So what our motto was is, if you're helping animals, we'll help you. So we ended up sending clothes to people. We had a whole resource center here in our little town that volunteered their help to separate and send clothes to people that were helping the animals.
Oh,
and then, of course, as the month went on, we were even able to get furniture and household supplies for people that were living in tents or living under their roof where their whole house had collapsed,
mm-hmm.
and they had nothing. And so out of those beginning 27 cats that I said, yes, I would help, it turned out that there were thousands of animals and thousands of people that were helping those animals that we helped. We heard about 150 animals of a variety of different animals that were being flown in to Santa Cruz, which is just north of us.
Mm-hmm.
So we were on a campaign for getting supplies for those 150 animals that were coming in. Somebody had volunteered the fuel and the jet to bring them. And so in our RV, my husband Gary and I packed 150 dog and cat beds plus supplies for the people that were working at the shelter, and we took them up there, and that was a caravan that we took up. We had over 1,000 pounds of food that had been donated to us, but maybe one bag at a time, some of them just a pound at a time. And we had a couple of pickup trucks and our RV, and we stuffed all those beds in there. They were the soft beds and blankets, and took them up there and gave them that. All of those 150 animals were fostered out immediately. And we gave every animal that came in there and then was fostered out a carrier, a bed, and whatever else they could use, food,
bless your heart,
dishes. And that was quite a wonderful effort from our little Central Valley, California town. I mean,
so you're in Hanford, right?
Yes, we're in Hanford. And those went up to the Santa Cruz SPCA, and we had blankets and food, and we just had so many people that were willing to help us. It was just incredible. Agnes, towards the end of that, I got to thinking about the miracle that had happened,
mm-hmm.
just because I had offered to help a few needy animals. It was just an absolute miracle. And I look back on it, and Paul Jolly from Petco had never even asked that we say anything.
They took no credit. I heard that.
He was just amazing that he was willing to help in any way that he could. We had about 200 carriers sent down to the hurricane zone,
mm-hmm.
the cardboard carriers. In fact, you're the one that told me that the cardboard would be real good because it's collapsible.
Right, it's flat.
Yeah, and it lays flat. And so I called the company that made those flat cardboard just by looking at the label on the carton. And they said, well, absolutely, they had two pallets of them that they could send down there for us. And it's not that they wouldn't have thought to do it, because they probably would have. It's just that I made the phone call and said I needed some help, and they said, well, they'll help us. And those carriers did have Petco advertising on them, but it was only because they had already made them, and that was...
For Petco, yeah.
Yeah, and they made them for Petco, and so it was little miracles like that that ended up being quite a beautiful phenomena, actually.
To your knowledge, were there a lot of animals airlifted out and placed elsewhere into foster homes?
Yes. Oh, yes. The 150 that came into the Santa Cruz SPCA was only one cargo. There was many, many brought in, and the most amazing thing was that it was like a drop in the ocean. The animals were just absorbed into other people's lives beautifully.
Oh,
people opened up their homes and opened up their arms and opened up their hearts and just accepted these animals as one of their own. We tried to make sure that every animal that came out had numbers, and of course the numbers would have to go onto the computer so that if people 6 months later
are searching for their
animals, our family cat, then we could look them up and try to keep track of that, and that's still going on today. There are of course many people that never had any home again to bring their animals.
Oh, they were washed away.
Yeah, they lost.
Their homes just collapsed. They washed away.
Yes, and so some of the homes that brought in the foster animals said they would keep them for as long as they needed to be kept until the people could rebuild and move back into the area. And of course, some people were never able to do that.
Well, not even yet today. They're still stranded and in the process of rebuilding their lives. The animals that came to the SPCA over there were any of them identified? Did they have dog collars or tags of any kind, or did they have those things in their ears?
Well, of course, that's the ideal situation, is to have them all chipped where they could be tracked, but a lot of them couldn't be. One of the biggest problems was that people that evacuated could not take their animals.
That was a total crime.
And that was an absolute crime against humanity and the animals, and that has changed. I believe now that any disaster that FEMA goes into, they will ask if there's an animal in the home, and they will provide some type of place for them to be evacuated to. And that was one of the sad lessons with Katrina and Rita, was that there was no place for people to go with their animals. And I hope and I'm praying that will never happen again. It just should never have happened in the first place.
No. I understand that there is pending legislation about that. And
yes.
I don't know if it's been approved yet, but the last I looked at it, it is a bill that's going through Congress saying that they have to rescue the animal too.
Yeah.
I talked to people who had animals that were strays from that. A lot of animals just ran away.
Yes.
I talked to a lady this last week that went back to find her house, and she said that she evacuated her animals every time there's a hurricane. And but at the animals, they were cats, and she said they got very stressed out. So this time she put food and water and, you know, everything they needed upstairs in the second story, and then this big flood came, and when she went back, the back of her house was gone, and she found the one cat dead on top of her bed, and the other cat was actually found in the closet under a sludge of mud. Now, this is the second floor, and they were Persians, just beautiful, and she asked me about, you know, their death, did they know, and everything, and I explained to her that, you know, nobody experiences their own death, particularly animals. that the angels come and call them out of their body before they actually are killed or die.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that a lot of animals that walked to safety, like larger dogs, got very bad burns on their feet and everything just from being in that terrible water.
Yeah.
It was so contaminated with gasoline and oil and sewage and chemicals and everything else that they actually burned off their little pads on their paws.
Oh.
And had to be treated. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, boy. Well, hopefully we'll never have to go through that pain and sorrow again.
That was a real tragedy. But I must say, when you told me this story, I was so touched by Petco and the response that they gave you. And I just, I really thought this was something that needed to be told. Because
yes, I agree with you.
As an animal lover, you know, I like anybody that helps animals in any way. But I was very touched because you were just a person out there nobody knew.
Yeah.
And here you called out of the blue, the CEO.
Yeah.
And they responded to you in such a loving way. And right, they asked no questions. They went right out there and did what was needed.
Dr. Thomas?
Yes.
Hi, this is Dolores
incredible.
Gray.
I'm sorry?
Yes, that was absolutely incredible. And never was anything brought
Dr.
up
Thomas?
That needed to be evened out. You
Can
know?
You hear me?
Wait, we have a caller.
Okay.
Okay, caller. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Dolores Gray from Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay, Dolores.
Yes. First of all, I really want to thank Mary for all her loving efforts. Mary, thank you to help those animals.
Thank you.
So often you watch the news on television and you hear horror stories of animal abuse, and it's so refreshing. You know, to hear, you know, about an animal hero for a change.
Animal hero. That's what we will call her.
Oh, I love that. My
and
cat
I,
will like that, too.
And I just know St. Francis is looking down from heaven and smiling on you.
Oh, I agree.
Oh, thank you.
But, Dr. Thomas, I do have a question for you.
Yes.
I was curious to know if you've had any experience communicating with any of the animal victims of Katrina. You know, were you able to receive any input from them?
Yes, I have.
Oh, boy.
I had, for example, I had a lady that called. This was a Hispanic couple that lived somewhere in northern Louisiana. And a dog showed up at their door, and this poor dog had burned feet and everything else just from chemical burns, and they cleaned it up. I think it was either a German Shepherd. It was a large dog. I don't remember right off the hand. And this dog was so traumatized, and they called me to see if I could do anything for it. And I asked the dog about what happened, and he said that that there was a big flood and that his apartment house fell down that he was living in. And he got out, and he says his mom had left, meaning his person, his owner, and she had left, and that he was just in agony trying to find her.
Oh.
He thought she was under the rubble. He looked under the rubble for a long time, and he could swim a little bit, so he was swimming, trying to find her, and finally he couldn't find her, and he couldn't find any other people either, and he swam until he got to dry land, and then he just walked and walked and walked and walked looking for her. And then he came upon this couple's house, and this was like 5 or 6 days later. And they took him in, and when I asked him, you know, to show me what happened, he showed me that. But his concern, believe it or not, was not about his safety, but it was about the safety of his mom, his person. And I asked, when did you see her last? And he said that she left the apartment. And like she did every morning or whatever, but he didn't know where she went, but he knew it was raining pretty bad. But then the place fell down around him, and that he was just in agony, looking for her. Not the least bit concerned for himself, but for her. And I tried to desensitize him to that memory by asking him to show it to me and reassuring him that everybody made it out and that she's safe somewhere. We don't know exactly where, but she's safe. And that maybe, you know, if they can find where she is or she can remember him, that they could reunite. And this dog, I talk to animals about past trauma, and I can desensitize them to that. And this is all done through telepathy. But this dog, when I was talking to this dog in his mind, this dog was howling and moaning. It was pitiful. It was breaking my heart. He was going, oh, you know, like a mother has lost her child. I never heard anything so heart-wrenching in my life. This dog was in agony trying to deal with the loss or the separation of the woman because he didn't know where she was. And I kept reassuring him that everybody got out safely, that she is somewhere, somebody found her, and she's all right. It was terrible. Yesterday, Dolores, in case you don't know, is a very dear friend of mine. And she was at Petco yesterday. And tell the listeners about what happened with that dog that its person went to the nursing home. Remember the little beagle?
Oh, my goodness. Well, it made me cry, I'll tell you that much. The dog, the owner had wondered about the dog's past, and so I guess he revealed to you his previous owner, and you said to him, well, you know, would you like to say goodbye to your mommy? You know, it's okay because now you have a new loving family. And just then that quiet dog lifted his little head and started to howl as if you had to be there to
cry
that. And he moaned, and, oh, I was crying. The owner was crying. But it was such a relief because you just knew by looking at this animal that he did something that he really needed to do.
Oh, yes. Yeah, well, what turned out that the owner was very, very ill with cancer, and she had to be put in a hospice. And I guess the daughter or somebody, a neighbor, took the dog and put it up for adoption, but the person that took him didn't really say anything to the dog, and he didn't know why he was in a cage. But then he got adopted. But I guess the point we're trying to make is that the devotion of the animal to its person is so remarkable, and when you talk to them about it, They let out these agonizing cries that tells how heartbroken they are and how much they worry about their person, you know, whether they're healthy or not. They don't even care about themselves. They care about their person. We were so touched hearing this yesterday. Dolores was crying.
Yeah, and I was so relieved for the dog because you actually gave that dog permission to let go. It was closure.
Yes.
That he could get on with his new life, and it was
yes.
just so obvious.
Yeah, it gave the animal a chance to say goodbye, and I think we told him that his mother's going to be taken care of by angels now. And dogs certainly are surrounded with angels, and they see them, and they know what they are and what they look like. And the dog was satisfied, but I felt so sorry for it. You could tell it was just moaning.
Yes, many times we don't let our animals know what's going on, and they don't know, and then they wonder, and it's an empty feeling for them.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. People don't realize how much what they do affects their animal. And if they would just talk to them and tell them, it gives them, it helps them to hang on. But if they're just swept away like their merchandise or belongings,
mm-hmm.
you know, that you have to give to the Goodwill or something, you know, they just don't know. And many animals that are adopted have serious separation problems, and people call me, and it's not always that they were abused and they were taken to shelter. A lot of them were loving people who passed away or for some other reason couldn't take care of the animal anymore, and the animal then wonders what it did wrong. But it mostly wonders what happened to their person.
Mm-hmm. And they, if we could communicate that to them, then it's usually perfectly okay if they understand what's going on.
Yes. Yeah. Because all you have to do is say, I'm going out for the day, but I'm coming back. That's all they want to know. Because they feel that if they don't know their way around the world, that you don't either. So they're very worried, and they keep in contact with you telepathically when you go out. But if you tell them where you're going and that you're coming back and about what time, like nighttime or lunchtime, it makes them feel secure that you'll be back and then you come back. But a lot of people go and leave their animals and never tell them anything. And the poor animals, they're wondering what happened. Mm-hmm. And, you know, especially dogs feel like they're not doing their job, they're not protecting you, and they leave the house and go looking.
So then in the case of a disaster, Agnes, do you think that it would be prudent for all of us to have some type of a dialogue with our animals that we say have had to leave in a hurry? Or, of course, not everybody can take their farm animals, even if they...
No, but I would. But it's still, cows are just as sensitive as, you know, as pets. And yes, just talk to them and say, we're being evacuated, there is some danger, and I'm going to leave hay for you, but we'll come back as soon as the storm is over. They had a hurricane, or no, it wasn't a hurricane, it was a tornado in Ohio, and there was a shelter for horses and things like that, and the barns blew down and everything, and one horse leaned with his whole body, about 1,500 pounds, up against a person, up against a tree, so they wouldn't be lifted by the tornado.
Wow.
So if you think animals don't care about us, mm-hmm. you're quite wrong. People should really realize how much animals are devoted to us. I don't know why they think we're worth it, but they do. I talk to also a lot of the animals in the spirit world. I have many animals of my own in the spirit world, and I connected with them. And a lot of animals just drowned in the hurricane because it flooded their houses and it flooded the streets, and they just drowned. And a lot of them didn't know where they were. Some of my animals were saying that they don't know where they are, Mommy. They don't know what happened. Just all of a sudden they were there, and then they were here, and they couldn't figure out what happened to them, and that they had a lot of animals and a lot of angels in the spirit world talking to these poor creatures saying, you died. You know, you're in the afterlife now. And they notice they don't have their physical body. They have an etheric body, which looks very similar.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't understand. And even there in the spirit world, they don't know what happened. They don't know where they are. And they want to know if their person is okay. That's what all they think about. Is my mommy okay, or is my daddy okay?
And are you able to tell them that and have them understand? Can you do that in mass?
I can't do it in mass, but I can tell my animals that are in spirit and the ones that are telling me this to tell them in mass, yes, because what they do is then they can talk to all the dogs, or they can talk to all the cats, because they can talk to the what's called the oversoul. Mm. And the oversoul is a being, a superior being that is, it's kind of like the, it's kind of like a diva. I don't know if you read Findhorn Garden, but they have a diva for peas and a diva for corns, and it's not angelic, it's a different thing altogether, but it's like they have a diva for a wolf and a certain kind of dog and a cat and all that, and they are responsible. They're called the council, and they're responsible for maintaining the form of the animal and helping it to adapt to the earth's changes, like the atmosphere changes, and they want to make sure that, you know, the breed doesn't become extinct, so they help adapt the DNA. Now, these are enlightened beings, but they've never lived on the earth. These are animal beings, but they've never lived on the earth. And for lack of a better word, I call them the diva, because they're responsible for that form, that life form. And like I said, there's some for every species and so on. And the animals call them the council. And when animals die, they have the option to reincarnate. They have the option to work on councils. There are many schools in the afterlife. And so they just call them the Council of Elders. But that's what they are. They're like sort of a predetermined form that makes possible the formation of that particular animal on the earth. And so, yes, they can talk to the divas, they can talk to the councils, and the councils can talk to the oversoul of all birds, for example,
mm-hmm.
and they will communicate that message to them because animals can transcend this world, and so they are open to spirit just as much as they're open to the physical dimension.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all up there helping. What our animals are doing are helping the grief,
mm-hmm.
helping the animals with their grief for losing their person.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, then they do locate them. I mean, the angels do show them, you know, a vision or whatever of their person, that the person is okay or whatever. But when you get a lot of them, it's a lot of work,
mm-hmm.
all at once.
And we can help that, right, by just keeping our thoughts on them and letting them know that some people died and some people didn't,
yeah.
and some people are still confused about that, too. The people are probably just as confused as the animals.
Yeah, well, there are people that are still lost.
Yeah,
at the tsunami of 2004. They still have no idea where people are.
Yes.
But you notice that the animals got away.
Mm-hmm.
Because the animals are in equilibrium with the energy grid of the earth. And when there's going to be an earthquake or something, there's a change in the grid, and the animals become confused. And they go to higher ground, or they go away from the point of confusion until they feel safe again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened in the tsunami. They just directed themselves away from the distortion in the energy grid, because the energy grid not only goes around the earth, but it goes deep within the earth too. And before an earthquake, there's usually the snakes will come out of the ground and rats will come out into the open, and you can catch them with their bare hands. Birds will crash into trees, and you can tell they're terribly disoriented.
Yeah.
And that's how they move around. It isn't by scent or by some other message. It's because they are so connected with the earth that the earth itself tells them when there's going to be an eruption. It's really interesting. And but I guess, how about you, Dolores? Weren't you amazed how dedicated the animal was to the person?
That amazes me every time I hear these stories. Just like, you know, some of the readings that you did yesterday.
Yes.
I mean, they're selfless.
Yes.
I just hope that a lot of the animal victims realize that, you know, that we do care, and that many of their families risk their own lives by refusing to go. I hope they realize that it's because of them, and that's how important they are to us, to some of us.
Yes.
Yeah, there's really nothing like the love of an animal. I don't know why they think we humans deserve it, because we seem to be less considerate of our own species. But for the listeners that are not familiar with this, it's very important to tell your animal where you're going and when you're coming back, because they constantly worry. And if you go away and you don't tell them, they'll escape the house and go looking for you. Everybody saw, what's the name of that movie, Dolores? It was about the journey home or something.
The Longest Journey.
What is it?
The Longest Journey.
Right.
Yeah, and what these three animals were left with a babysitter, and they didn't know what happened, and it was two dogs and a cat.
And a cat.
And they took this long journey across many states to find home, and that is a fact. They will go thousands of miles.
Wasn't that a true story? That was
yes,
based on
a
true
story. It's happened many times. During one of the hurricanes in Florida last year, there was a lady from I think it was Fort Lauderdale, who called me to see if I could find her dog. And I found her dog, but it was really far away. And I wasn't familiar with the area, and of course the dog wasn't familiar, but he just ran, you know, to get away from the storm and the water. And they finally found him up in northern Florida. It was someplace in Tallahassee. And he had been around there. This was 7 months later. And he had a collar on, and somebody in this condominium village was feeding him. And they read his collar, and they called her. But he would kept escaping every day. And this couple would drive up there, and I'd say, okay, he's by the garbage cans in the back of this condominium village. And so finally what they did was they trapped the dog because the person, there was like an entrance gate and you had to show your identification to go into this community. They finally got food and also his blankets from home that had his scent on it, and they put it inside this little shed, and they coaxed the dog to go in this shed, and they finally got him. Oh, my gosh. It took like 4 or 5 days for this dog to be calm enough to go into the shed. And anyway, they took him home, but they said that as soon as they got him in the house, he was like nothing happened. He just wanted to go home. It was, 7 months later, I mean, who can figure that your dog would be gone, blown away by the hurricane, and you find him 7 months later?
Amazing story.
It is amazing. But you see, what had happened is the connection, the telepathic connection between the owners and the dog was still intact. It's just that the dog didn't know where he was.
Mm-hmm.
It was still there.
Wow, the incredible journey.
Well,
that was an incredible journey.
That is incredible. And it just never ceases to amaze me. There was a beautiful lady there yesterday talking to Dolores and I. We were at Petco at their grand opening. And wasn't she interesting, Dolores?
Which one was that?
She was talking
so
about her animals, and also that I forgot what it was she was doing with animals, but she saw like a vision, and the vision was of angels arm in arm around her.
Oh, she had the dream.
And they formed a rainbow around this lady. This lady was a very, very evolved, spiritual, beautiful person. And they were singing Glory to God in the Highest.
Mm.
It had something to do with her animal. I can't exactly remember her story, but we were totally at awe of her.
We'll have to find her and
yeah.
share that. We'll get
what?
The facts. But I know, Dr. Thomas, I spoke to my cat today before I took her to the vet, just like you said, and it made a big difference.
Oh, yes.
And you did ask her about, you asked my cat, Squeaker, to show you what was wrong, and she showed you her stomach.
Mm-hmm.
And you were right. It turns out she's got a lot of bile in her stomach. So everything you said,
yeah.
Dr. Thomas, was right on.
Yeah, so she does have, like, some inflammation
exactly.
around her.
That's exactly what he said.
The bile is backing up into the stomach instead of going down.
I had the test done today, and for now he has me giving her Pepcid-AC.
Oh, that'll work.
Mm-hmm,
yes.
That'll work. That works really well.
So it was like your words coming back to me, exactly what Squeaker told you to tell me that's what it was.
Mm. Dolores, what was your impression of Petco? Wasn't that man nice?
Oh, Mike McFarland.
Oh, my gosh. Wasn't he
a
gentleman?
He was a very wonderful man. He's exactly what that company needs.
It is.
He's very service-oriented. He's very caring. He rushes to help people and animals, and I would hire him to work for me any day.
I would, too. He was really quite a nice, nice man. He seemed to know every bit of merchandise on the floor, and the store just opened. And all the help were walking around with birds on their shoulders and little animals and stuff. And they were asking him questions. I thought he was absolutely wonderful. This
yeah,
is
he made
Medina
us feel very welcome.
The brand new Petco in Medina, Ohio.
Beautiful.
I was quite touched by the people there too. And as I was telling Dolores' story, Mary, about you. And your experience with Petco, and we could see the devotion of the people to animals.
Yes.
And I mean, it's really remarkable.
Yes, it is.
Oh, and I had the great pleasure last week, Mary, of meeting your sister in Denver.
Yes.
What a lovely person. And you're right, she does talk just like you.
Yes.
And she came to visit me. We were in Denver for the International New Age Trade Show, and I was there with my publisher, advertising my book, and also the cards, the wisdom cards. And it's amazing. You know, you have to get to know some New Age people. They are just truly beautiful. And they were there, and they were coming over to our booth to say hello and to look at the cards and the merchandise and stuff. But a lot of them were saying that their guides or their angels told them to come over.
Oh.
And I was totally taken back by that. Like, the angels are telling them to come over. And I guess it's because of the love for animals. And like-minded people are drawn to each other. But my publisher, who is not all that familiar with New Age stuff, was just astounded that people are coming over and saying that their spirit guide told them to come over
and
talk with us.
Oh, gosh.
You know, the animals are totally surrounded by angels. It's I don't see them, but telepathically I can connect with the animal and they'll show me what they see. And they're totally surrounded by angels, and they certainly deserve it because they're just wonderful beings, and it's very kind of them to share the earth with us.
Yes.
Don't you feel that way, Mary?
Yes, absolutely. And that unconditional love is contagious when you have a relationship
like
with an animal and you understand that love. There's no holding back. You feel it from the animals, and the animals teach us how to do that. And with our complicated personalities, it's not as easy for us to love everyone because we have so many conditions. But the animals have no conditions whatsoever except that we accept them for what they are. And I think that that's the beautiful thing about relationships with animals, is that it includes love, and it teaches us to love and certainly to be loved. I know that Mary Ellen always says, Mary Ellen Angel Scribe says, the first ingredient in a miracle is love.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a simple truth.
Oh, you know that Mary Ellen and Atiro Hatton were there with us?
Yes.
We had the best time.
Wonderful.
Atiro has her own show on 7 o'clock on Thursday night called Metaphysical Straight Talk. She's also on BBS Radio. And she was awesome. People were coming to our booth, and they said, I'm here for Atira, but I don't know what that is. No, they know they were sent, but they didn't know if that was a person or a product or what. It was an incredible experience.
Oh.
It was like I was surrounded by angels the whole weekend. It was really great.
Yeah. I would love to experience that.
That would have been nice. But your sister did it for you, and I was pleased that she showed up.
I am too. You know, I'm in California, and so her being in Colorado was perfect. With you being in Ohio, it was just one step closer.
Right.
I will love to meet you when you come to California.
Because your story really had to be told. It touched my heart so deeply. And I'm really glad that you were willing to come on the air and tell it.
Yes.
It's something that everybody needs to know, that one person can make such a huge difference if they've got their heart where it's supposed to be. We're running out of time. We have about 1 minute. And Dolores, I want to thank you for calling in tonight, too.
Thank you for letting me. This was absolutely wonderful. And on behalf of Squeaker and my husband and I, we appreciate all that you've done, you know, to help us through this time. And thank you, Mary. You are absolutely wonderful.
Thank you, Dolores. And thank you, Agnes.
Thank
I appreciate being able to tell that beautiful story.
I think it's beautiful.
Yes.
Okay. If there is a, we want to thank everybody for listening in tonight, and if there's a particular topic you would like to hear about animals, please email me at talktopets@AOL.com, or you can visit my website, petstellthetruth.com. And I would love, if you have problems or issues with your animals, you can contact me through my email. Consultations are $35 for 20 minutes, $50 for a half hour. And I want to thank both of you again for telling your beautiful stories about animals. They're just animals and humans.
Yeah.
This was very touching, and I greatly appreciate it. And
thank
so
you,
Agnes.
I'm going
to end by saying good night to our listeners. Please listen in next week, and we'll have some more wonderful stories about wonderful people and animals.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.